I had a bright idea this afternoon because my nerves were that bad. And I thought, boys and girls, I'm going to get a pair of glasses and I'm going to sellotape two sides onto my glasses so that when I'm standing in the pulpit, I can't see anybody over here or over here, and I'll pretend I'm just on the Friday night meeting with the boys and girls in front of me, because it's no easy thing standing up here in front of everyone. But when I saw how well all the boys and girls have done tonight, I thought, well, the least I can do is try to tell a story. Now, as you can see up on the PowerPoint tonight, we're going to do some of the parables of Jesus, because I think it's better to start with something that's easy to understand and easy to put across. Now, boys and girls, we know by now what a parable is. A parable is a story. Something's just come into my mind. Someone phoned me earlier today and they told me that they had a special wee prize. I nearly forgot about that. And they said that if someone could watch out for a very good boy or a very good girl tonight, not a mummy and daddy, just a boy or a girl, then they could get a wee prize. So I'm going to ask if Mr. Tommy Breen would keep his eyes open in the meeting tonight for a good boy or a good girl. So boys and girls, we're going to talk tonight about the parables. And the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ told us things in parables when he walked on this earth was to make it easy for us to understand. Because sometimes when we open the scriptures, it can be difficult for us to understand, especially when we're talking about things of eternity, things about heaven, and things about life after death. It can be hard for our minds to take it all in. And so, boys and girls, when Christ walked on this earth and he spoke to many, many, many multitudes of people, he told many things in the form of parables, which were little stories to help us understand things of eternity. Now, boys and girls, when I was thinking about what I was going to do tonight at the children's meeting, I was reading through some of the parables, and I came across this one, and it's one of my favourite parables in the Bible. And that's probably very difficult to see, but I'll read it to you. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, in the book of Matthew, in the chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ told many parables. And this little set of parables that we're looking at tonight try to explain to us something of the kingdom of heaven. And first we come across this merchant man. And a merchant man was someone who bought and sold things. I think if I had been back in that day, I would have liked to have been a merchant woman, because I like buying and selling things. And this merchant man was buying and selling things, but he found something. Hands up what he found. We've just read it, and now I'm testing to see if you're listening. Yes, Rebecca. A pearl. He found a pearl. You're Rebecca too. He found a pearl of great price. It was a pearl that cost a lot of money. Now, boys and girls, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, why did that pearl cost so much money? And that's where we have to try and learn something about the pearl. Why the pearl was so, so expensive. Does anybody know where you would have found a pearl? Yes, Hannah? At the beach. Do you think you would have just stumbled on it on the beach? Or would you have to look very hard to find it? Where would it have been? Yes? The bottom of the ocean. So boys and girls, that's something I'll never find, because I could hardly dive into Banbridge swimming pool. Never mind the bottom of the ocean. And especially back in those days, boys and girls, pearls were something that were extremely rare. Now, does anybody know what you call the shell thing that a pearl was found inside? Yes. Yes, a very good word. There's another name for it beginning with O. Oi. Starts with... Yes. An oyster. And boys and girls, when I read this, I thought, The Lord Jesus Christ always has a reason for choosing what he said. Why did he call it a pearl of great price? Well, I pretended I was back in school this week, and I got all the books out. I hadn't done that in years, and I started to try and learn something about the pearl. And when I started to investigate this pearl, do you know what I learned? That the pearl started from something very minor. In fact, the pearl started from just a little piece of dirt or a little piece of sand, something that meant nothing. And that little piece of sand made its way into the oyster. And then the oyster itself, I have to check my page here in case I forget. The oyster itself, it covered that little grain of sand in a thing called nacre. And then it covered it in another layer and another layer. And it took a long time. And this lovely layer formed into a beautiful... what? Yes. Everybody. A beautiful pearl was formed inside the oyster. Through the process of time, this beautiful pearl came from the little grain of dirt or sand and became something beautiful. And all of the oysters that lay on the seabed, do you think all of them had a pearl inside? No, not all of the oysters grew a pearl, but just some of them. So they were rare and they were very hard to find. And boys and girls, there's another reason why they cost so much. Nowadays, when you see divers going into the sea, they don't really look like this, do they? Because they're all geared up with special equipment and they've a big tank of oxygen on them and they've special goggles to look through and they've special wetsuits to keep them warmer and they go way down into the depths of the sea. But back then, the divers wouldn't have had equipment like that. They had nothing like that. And they risked their whole lives to dive into the depths of the ocean to get the pearl. So when this merchant man came on this pearl, it's no wonder that he went and he sold everything that he owned. Every single thing. It could have been his animals, his farm of land, his house, everything. To make sure he went and bought that one precious pearl. Now, whenever Jesus told this story, he didn't want to just teach us how a pearl was formed. And he didn't want us just to think about how we would find a pearl. But he wanted us to think of things of eternity. And whenever you think very carefully about the pearl, because the Bible says, search the scriptures and see whether these things be. And we have to think about what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And we think about this pearl. Remember, boys and girls, that the pearl was found in the depths of the sea. In fact, some of the pearls are found as deep as 64 feet down. I should have been speaking in meters tonight, but I'm still in foot and inches. But they were found away in the depths of the sea. When I thought about that, and when I thought about those divers diving down there to get that pearl, then I thought, boys and girls, of the very depths that the Lord Jesus Christ went to for you and I. You know, boys and girls, sometimes when we sit in Sunday school every week, we sit in the children's meeting every week, we hear it over and over and over that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin. Sadly, boys and girls, sometimes it just goes straight over our heads. It just goes into one ear and straight out the other, because we're so used to hearing it over and over and over. But boys and girls, I would just ask you tonight to think, to stop and think for a few moments of what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, boys and girls, sometimes we get a wee cut on our finger and we come running into Mommy and we need a big plaster on it. And we cry sore about this tiny wee cut on our finger. But boys and girls, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered so much. His back was torn and whipped and he was hung on a cruel cross. There were nails pierced through his hands and feet. And the Lord suffered, and he plunged to great depths for us. And whenever I thought of the pearl covered in this hard, shiny substance, that makes me think, boys and girls, that we can be covered with the blood of Christ. Because by dying on the cross, the Lord paid the debt for our sin. The Lord shed his blood, and a sacrifice was made of his life in order to make a way for you and I to be accepted in God's eyes. A way for our sins to be washed away and forgiven. And whenever we come and we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, his blood covers us and cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says here, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And whenever you picture the merchant man as he was out seeking for this pearl of great price, boys and girls, the Lord God saw you. He saw us in our sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save you. The next little parable that I looked at is here in Matthew chapter 14. In verse 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had, and buyeth that field. Now this sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? This man was out, and he found something in a field. What did he find in the field? I'd love to find this. Sometimes I find socks in under the bed. I don't think I'll go any further than that. I find all sorts kicking about our house, but never in my life have I found this. What did he find? Treasure. Now, we don't know what it was. The Bible doesn't tell us. It could have been coins. It could have been precious jewels. We don't know. But this man found treasure. He just stumbled on it. He just came across it. And he found it. And he buried it in the field. And he went away and he thought, if I owned that field, then I would own that treasure. So just like the merchant man, off he went and he sold everything that he had. He gave up absolutely everything to go back and buy the field. Because he knew when he bought that field, he would have far more than what he started off with. Because what would he have if he bought the field? Yes. Yep. He would have that treasure. And the Lord Jesus Christ again was trying to teach us something in this parable. And this treasure that was buried in the field teaches us something about what it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It teaches us something about what it is to be promised a home in heaven. Because, boys and girls, this man gave up everything. And sometimes, boys and girls, when we think about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, we think about all the things we have to give up. And we think, well, maybe I could do without the treasure. I don't know if I want to give up my friends. I don't know if I want to have to stand out and be different. I don't know if I want to give up my sin. I don't know about that. I'll maybe do without the treasure and I'll put it off. And I'll think about it another time. But boys and girls, this man, he didn't stall, did he? He didn't sit down and think, well, do I want this or do I not want it? He knew whenever he saw it, it was something that he absolutely needed to have. And he gave up everything in order to get it. And boys and girls, I remember hearing someone say they had got saved, they had a new heart, they were completely changed. And someone very close to them said to them, I don't know about you being saved. I want you to go back to the way you used to be. I want you to come back and live the way you used to and do the things you used to do when you weren't saved. And this man, you know what his reply was? He said, if you could only have what I have, even just for a few minutes, the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, you wouldn't want to give it back. You see, boys and girls, whenever we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to wash our sins away, and we come in repentance, and we say to him, Lord, I'm giving up my sin. I'm turning my back on all of those things. I'm coming to you in repentance and in faith. The Lord Jesus Christ gives you a treasure, boys and girls, and that treasure is the promise of eternal life. And that's something that all the money in this country couldn't buy. You know, boys and girls, when I was studying about the pearl, you know what it said? It said that with all the advances and all the science that we have learned and all the things that we've been able to make and grow and do, there's no man yet has been able to make a pearl from scratch. It's one of the very few things that man just cannot make. And boys and girls, sometimes we think that we can make salvation for ourselves. We can make our own path to heaven. We can pray now and again. We can go to church now and again. We can lift our Bible. We can read it. We can do all those things. And God will accept us at the close of time. Do you know, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us so clearly in his word, repent and believe the gospel. And this is a very special verse that applies very well to the story tonight. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, it's so important to do well in life here. It's so important to work hard, to do all the things that mommy and daddy want you to do. But boys and girls, there's nothing more important. And I know you've heard this before, but it's my prayer tonight that you'll listen very carefully and realize there's absolutely nothing in this life as important as laying up treasures for yourself in heaven, as being prepared and ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads me to the last little parable. It would need to be the last. It's 8:05. And this parable speaks here in Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. This big net was thrown out into the sea and it caught every kind of fish and sea creature. I bet you some boys and girls here like fishing, do you? Yes. So this is for you boys. It was thrown out into the sea and it caught all of these fishes of all different kinds. But the next verse tells us, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast away the bad. So the work was done by the big net. Time was up for the net. It was drawn into the shore and the fish were all separated out. And into some big baskets, they would put the good fish that they were going to use and eat. But into some other baskets, they cast away the bad fish that they couldn't use. This reminds me of the end of term at school. Because at the end of term in primary school, our teacher used to every year set out all the good pencils and the bad pencils and the good crayons and the broken crayons. And just before we got off, she made us tidy them all up. And Sylvie is smiling at me because she probably has to do that in the nursery. And we used to sit and go through our crayons and some were good and you could use them, but some were all broken in half and there was only wee bits left. And we had to throw them away. And that's what I thought of when I read this part of the parable. But boys and girls, once again, the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to think about things that are eternal. It tells us, boys and girls, that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other. You know, boys and girls, you'll live here in Portadown, and you'll know when you go to school that we're all very different. There's some people do go to church, there's some people don't go to church, there's some of you are tall, some of you are very small, some of you have thick hair, some of us don't have that much hair. And all of us in life, boys and girls, we're all different. But when it comes to the very end of time, this verse tells us very clearly that he shall separate them one from the other. The Lord God, at the end of time, will separate us all. But boys and girls, there won't be all different baskets and all different sections. There'll be only two types of people. There'll be the saved people or the lost. And boys and girls and grown-ups too, the Lord God makes it more than clear in his word time and time and time again that you must be saved. You must be saved in order to be accepted in God's eyes, in order to receive that home in heaven, in order to face him at the end of time and be accepted into heaven. Boys and girls, you must be saved. And as much as you hear it every week, and sometimes you might get fed up hearing it even, boys and girls, it's very, very important for each and every one of you to think upon those things. Where do you stand in God's eyes? Are you saved tonight or are you lost? How can you be saved? You can be saved by simply asking the Lord Jesus Christ to wash your sin away, by repenting and coming to him in faith, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive your sin. How can you be lost? You can be lost, boys and girls, by walking out the door tonight and rejecting him, by turning your back on God, and by doing absolutely nothing, by moving on through life, thinking nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, you'll remember this morning we ended our service with some very bad news because a lady that belonged to the congregation here very, very suddenly has passed away. And I was thinking about this afternoon, and I was thinking that one night you can be sitting in the pew, sitting in your seat with your Bible and your hymn book. But there's no guarantee at all that next week you'll be in that pew. There's no guarantee for any one of us, young or old. We're not promised tomorrow. Anything can happen, and things can change in life very quickly. That's why God tells us in his word, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And boys and girls, there's nothing else that would give your teachers and your parents tonight more joy than to hear that you have come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.